Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reactions to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you want to join the conversation, come on over to reallibertymedia.com. You know, log in, get in the chat room, say hello, and visit with me live on the air. And thanks for listening to the podcast on whatever platform you're getting it on. I sure appreciate that too. All right, some updates from the homestead. Let's do that first. Get that out of the way. There's so much stuff going on, man. It's crazy. Not only here at the homestead, but just in the world in general, man. It's a crazy world we're living in. Stuff makes less sense day by day unless you understand, you know, the people who are involved in making stuff not make sense. Yeah, that was clear as mud, wasn't it? I suppose not. Well, first of all, I got to tell you guys, I have found a new tool that, well, we're trying it out right now today. This very show, my first attempt at using this. And I'll get to it in just a minute. But I wanted to say, man, the weather here the last 2 days, absolutely fantastic. Like sunny, warm, blue skies, you know, not too hot, just right, like 70s. Maybe we might have hit 80 today, but I don't think so. We were probably really close. And of course, remember, I'm in Oregon. So, you know, mileage may differ where you are. Speaking about mileage, holy hell, gas prices. What, $4.67 average across the country, highest ever. It's ridiculous. Man, I don't know how people are doing it. I honestly don't know how people are doing it. And I suppose it's only going to get worse. I think, who is that auto company? AAA was saying, yeah, it's $4.67 today, but it'll be $4.75 by the weekend. That's an average. We have family in Southern California. Suckers. And they're paying $8 a gallon. So, you know, $10 a gallon gas is not that far away in some places. So get ready. You know, so many things assaulting our ability to live and enjoy freedom, that's for sure. But I think that that's the general goal, is to eliminate freedom altogether. Take your choices away, you will own nothing and be happy, right? I'm going to avoid that as much as possible. The outstanding weather here has brought in such a tremendous variety of birds. I started to make a list, and I'm going to tell, these are the ones that just came to mind right before I went on the air. We have grosbeaks, we have evening grosbeaks, we have waxwings, tanagers, western bluebirds, scrub jays, stellar jays, swallows, finches, eagles, osprey, hawks, and buzzards. I'm telling you, there's so many freaking birds out here. It's crazy. Along with that, in springtime, I don't know if this is just normal for springtime. It seems like I always notice it in spring and early summer. Mainly, it's the movement of animals, like raccoons, possums, skunks, coyotes. It just seems like you see a lot more roadkill this time of year. I don't know what it is. And also, this damn coyote took a chicken a couple days ago out of our flock. Took it right in front of the chicken coop too, which really irritates me, because that means, you know, well, it did happen really early in the morning, like 4 o'clock, and I'm usually up by 4:30, but it's probably too late anyway. Yeah, and that coyote, we've seen him a couple times now, saw him today, as a matter of fact. And this is what happens, I think. I'm not giving you any factual information here. This is kind of my observation over the years I've lived here in Oregon. And that is in the late spring, I think the coyote, the young males get booted and they go out and try and make a life on their own. You know, coyotes are kind of a pack animal. Well, they are a pack animal or herd animal. I mean, you know, they roam in packs. But I don't think all the males are allowed to hang out, or maybe they just decide to move out on their own. But you get these young males, you know, late teens, early adulthood males, and man, they just have no fear of anything, which is good because they're easy to shoot that way. We will shoot this one because, he took a chicken the other day, which means he's going to hang around and probably try and take another chicken. And not only that, but he was 40 yards outside of our fence line, standing on these downed logs that we piled up from the clearing we did, last year at this time. So he's hanging around. He'll make a mistake, and he won't hear the trigger pull before he's gone. But you got to take care of those things. You know, you can't have them taking all your food. I mean, they got a whole forest full of food to choose from out there. But, you know, domestic animals are sure a lot easier, especially stupid chickens, man. They're just, you know, not the brightest animal in the world, and they don't have any defense, and they get really stupid in the night or when it's dark. It's like they go into this trance, sleep, sort of. You can just walk down to your chicken coop and pick the chickens up, and they don't do anything. That's why coons are so bad for chicken coops, and foxes, actually, and skunks too. Coons will go in there and they'll kill and eat one bird, and they'll kill another one and leave it to come back later. Because damn, chickens don't do anything. They don't make a big fuss. They don't fly all over the coop and make a bunch of noise. They just sit there like idiots until, you know, they get eaten. But, you know, that's the time of year it is. The garden, we're taking care of that. We're getting some more rose planted. I am going to put up the drone soon and get some drone footage of all the things I've been talking about lately. I know I mentioned, I think, the other day that the sauna, my son-in-law built a sauna. It is fantastic. I didn't even know I liked sitting in saunas because I've never had the opportunity to, really, maybe once or twice before in my life. Well, now we have one right here on the property, and it is awesome. I don't know why I haven't had one, you know, all of my adult life, or at least tried that more often. But that is a great way to, I've heard there was this doctor on Joe Rogan podcast that talked about all the benefits of a hot sauna. And I guess it's good for you. Who knew? But anyway, you know, it kind of gets your, you know, gets the sweat out like a sweat lodge, I'm sure, you know, kind of the same deal, just getting into a sweat mode and clearing out your pores. And man, then you get out of that, take a cold shower or plunge. Oh, that'll get you going, man. That is awesome. Okay, the tool I wanted to tell you about that I am finding really helpful, and I'm not, you know, I am 100% Linux guy now, Linux operating system. And I like things that just work well for me. So I've been using LibreOffice to do my show notes. I use Ghostwriter, I think, yeah. Let me just double check and see what that's called. Ghostwriter to chop links, because links always come with so much excess crap on them. And you can shorten them down. And it's an easy way to do it in Ghostwriter. But this tool I'm going to mention here, it's called Obsidian, and it's like a writing tool. It's like a tool for writers, and it has markdown language, markup language, I'm no expert on it by any means. I've literally had it maybe a week, and I started playing with it about 3 days ago, and I was like, oh, this is really nice, man. Like, you do show notes, and you want to put links in it. So when you're talking about something, you know, you hit the link, it'll either open it in your document or open it in a browser, and then you can actually tag things in there. So that you have a list of tags you could refer to. You can link to documents, other documents you've written, and backlink to the original document. So let's say if I was talking about the one of the first stories I have is the Treasury Secretary doesn't understand inflation. So let's say I go and read that story, and when I'm done with it, I want to come back here. Well, there's a backlink to bring me right back to the original document. If I wanted to tag certain words, so, you know, I've talked about the avian flu so much lately, and I'm going to talk about it again today because there's more news today. But I can just look at my tags, avian flu, or even just avian for that matter, and it'll show me all the documents that I have mentioned avian, well, the word avian in. And, you know, so if I say, oh, I was talking about that, you know, a few weeks ago, I can just bring up, you know, my tags, look for avian, and it'll show me all the documents that avian appears in. And, you know, and so if I wanted to go back and reference that document, it's just easy to do. It's very organized. It saves the documents wherever you want them saved. I'm currently saving them in a cloud drive, which is just kind of, I don't know. I don't know if I really trust cloud drives. I mean, in one way, I absolutely don't, because I know whoever actually owns the cloud drive is snooping through all the documents. I don't have anything to hide. I don't care about, you know, anybody having anything to say about anything I talk about or anything I write about, because that's just the way it is. But yeah, it is out there for, you know, people to look at. Now, I do have it backed up to a hard drive here, but I'm really testing out this cloud drive business because, you know, if I'm at work, I'm a dentist, if I'm at work and I think of something I want to write about, I could open a new text document, write what I'm thinking about, and then email it to myself. Or I could just, you know, open my cloud drive, add a note to whatever document that I want it added to, and save it. And then when I get home, it's already there. I don't have to email it. I don't have to transfer it to a USB drive or whatever. It's already, everything is kept up to date. So I really like that. But anyway, this tool called Obsidian. Now I have, you know, I have it installed on Linux. It's an open source software, community license, whatever you want to call it. And it's available, I think, for Windows and Mac also. If you look at Obsidian and see how many people have started using it, it's kind of a big deal. It actually has a thing called the Daily Note, which, you know, I don't know if people journal or write diaries or whatever, but I was like, yesterday I was like, oh, I'm gonna just try that Daily Note thing. And then as I was doing it, I was like, hey, this is actually really handy, because I'll tell you guys a little secret. I dropped a new bike yesterday, and but it was really easy. It wasn't a big deal. I literally stopped and fell over. It's so funny to say that. And it reminds me of, some of you are old enough to remember, hang on, drink time. If you're old enough to remember Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, Artie Johnson used to ride this tricycle, full-grown man, on this little kid's tricycle. And he would just, like, you know, ride forward, and he would just stop and fall over. So this is what happened. I was coming up the road that comes to my house, a gravel road, on the new bike, the Suzuki DRZ400. And the UPS guy was coming toward me. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll just move over. Because it's really kind of a single lane gravel road. And, you know, I was like, I'll just move over. There's some grass right there. I'll just move over there. And I just moved over to the grass. And as I put my foot down, it kind of slipped off the edge of the grass. So the grass kind of had a curb like. It's like a dirt curb, right? Instead of just being grass that comes straight to the road, of course, it drops down to the road. And my foot just slipped off of there, and I just fell straight sideways and, you know, hit the ground, and I felt like an idiot. But I was also kind of laughing because I was like, yeah, you know, I know better than that, but I apparently don't anymore. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, the older you get, the harder it is to fall, man. It was like, I was fine, got up and rode home. And this morning when I woke up, I was so flipping sore, man. Like nothing broken or anything, just sore from falling down. Stupid thing to do. Which brings me to another point. I'm going to start losing some weight here. I've been, you know, I'm kind of big. I'm bigger than I like to be, that's for sure. So my Take 5 videos will be the documentation of my weight loss as it goes over the next year. I'm not horribly, I mean, yeah, to me, I look gross, and I don't like that, so I'm going to get on the ball there. And it'll be kind of fun. I'm actually going to use the Take 5 videos I do over on Rumble, BitChute, and Odyssey. And just see, you know, in the next year how different things look. And I've done it before, you know, I get kind of heavy and lose weight. And, you know, then every time I lose weight, I'm like, you know, my wife wants to throw out all my clothes. And I'm like, ah, don't throw them out. I'll be fat again someday. But I really like to get down to a decent weight and maintain it. That's what I'd like to do. So we'll see. Let's go back to Obsidian here and see what's next on my notes. Let's see what I have to talk about today. I know one thing I want to talk about, and let me see if I can find it. Because, yeah, I will find it. Now, see, I don't have everything tagged the way I said, because I really am just learning how to do that. But, dang it. Too bad, too, because I could really use some guidance right now. That'd be awesome. Nope. Oh. Well, what I was going to tell you is, hey, I think I could find this. I just want to make sure it's not in my notes. Okay. It's 100% not in my notes. So I'm going to go find it on the web, because I think where I found it, I found it when I was kind of going through all my, you know, browser and bookmarks, and I was like, oh man, some of these things are really old. I ought to get rid of them. And I ran into this story. Ah, yeah, here it is. Wisconsin DNR, which is Do Not Resuscitate, I'm kidding, it's the Department of Natural Resources, confirms highly pathogenic avian influenza in red foxes. Highly pathogenic avian influenza in red foxes. Of course, foxes eat birds, okay, so yeah, you would think, okay, there's probably some diseases that a fox could get from eating a bird, right? But not an avian virus. It's not normal to pass on to mammals. But there are some examples, you know, in the past 10, 15 years of virologists who have manipulated viruses, especially an avian flu virus, to adhere to mammalian lung cells. Well, how about that? A little gain of function going on in the avian influenza world. And then suddenly we have red foxes showing up with avian flu. Isn't that awesome? Sure, I'm sure this did not come from a lab anywhere near Wisconsin, although that's where the guy is, who he works there and in Tokyo, and he's the one who is like the expert of changing viruses adding function to viruses to make them adhere to different animals' tissues, whatever kind of tissue, but especially lung tissue he seems to be pretty good at, because some of these viruses, I guess that's maybe the easiest way to spread a deadly virus. Maybe that's the easiest way to get a global pandemic going, right? I mean, I can't wait to see what they have to say about the monkeypox coming up at us. Like, I'm sure that wasn't manipulated either, right? I'm sure we're all 100% convinced that monkeypox, did I say chickenpox? Monkeypox hasn't had gain-of-function research and been tried out on, you know, people in the wild. Hey, but you know what I was thinking? I have a couple things to say that's kind of like, it's kind of been on my mind lately. Like, especially when the monkeypox first came out, and they immediately were telling people, it kind of reminded me of the late 70s and 80s, early 80s, with the HIV virus. And, you know, it was gay men, immediately gay men. And the monkeypox was like gay men, you know. And there was like 4 cases in the United States, and they were in 4 different parts of the United States. And I was like, man, I don't care what else you have to say about gay men. They get around, man. And I don't mean that in any nasty kind of way. I'm just saying, like, you know, they're world travelers or something, and here they bring monkeypox back to the U.S. Of course, if you believe that, I don't know, it's probably more likely that they got it in their COVID vaccine, I'm thinking. Hey, that reminds me. Oh, yeah, so like back in the 80s, it was kind of a male homosexually transmitted disease. For whatever reason, it turned out, of course, not to be that, but, you know, in the beginning, it was like gay men, and everybody hated gay men, everybody was terrified of gay men, and, you know, I mean, they were already, like, gay men, so people didn't like them for that reason, and now they were carrying AIDS. I'll tell you guys right now, this was the weirdest thing. So I was in dental school, and, like I've said before, I went to dental school, like, 4 years after people would normally go to dental school, because people usually would go high school, college, dental school. I went high school, Coast Guard, college, dental school. So I had a 4-year extra space in there. So I was a little bit more mature than a lot of my classmates, not that much more, but I had a little more worldly experiences. You know, having traveled with the U.S. Coast Guard and the National Guard and stuff, you know, just so I just had a little more worldly experience, like, before I went to dental school. So I'm in dental school, 1980, and HIV comes to the surface. I mean, we kind of heard about it before 80, but it really started coming on strong in 1980 because our class was the first class of dental students that were required to wear gloves while they were doing dentistry. So the class who was there the year ahead of me, they were still doing what they call wet finger dentistry. And my class was the first class at Oregon Health Sciences University School of Dentistry who were required to wear gloves when they treated patients. And everybody was terrified of getting the AIDS. I mean, it was the craziest thing. We literally had discussions like, what do you call them? Not morality discussions, but kind of like, I mean, I guess it kind of fits into that realm. But we were actually, all the classes had discussions over whether or not they would treat HIV patients. And I thought it was the craziest thing because I was thinking to myself, like, I was an electrician in the Coast Guard, totally different skill, you know, like you work on electricity. I did it because I wanted to learn about electricity because I didn't know anything about it. And I was like, I'll be an electrician. So I did that. and I go to college and then to dental school, and here we're having this discussion about HIV and AIDS. And like my classmates were like, oh, I'm not going to treat any HIV patients. And I'm thinking to myself, you're in the healthcare field. I mean, yeah, you're a dentist. Okay, I get it. It's not like we're medical doctors or, you know, OR surgeons or whatever. But you're in the healthcare field. You're going to let, you know, you're not going to treat somebody with HIV because why? You're afraid of losing money? You're afraid of not living? Yeah, it was a crazy time, you know, people, you know, and I mean, it didn't take me long to understand why people became dentists. Like, I became a dentist for certain reasons. Yeah, I thought I would probably make pretty good money at some point, but I became a dentist because my teeth were so jacked up when I was a teenager. And I was fortunate enough that my mom scraped together the money to get me an orthodontics, get braces. Strained out my smile. I immediately saw how people treated me differently after my teeth were fixed than when I was an ugly duckling. Not that I was any better looking, but my teeth weren't jacked up. So I was like, you know, this would be cool if I could do something to help people have nice smiles. Well, that's why I became a dentist. And I was like, oh yeah, and I hear they make good money. Well, that part kind of didn't really come to fruition until later in my career. But like, especially now, man, anybody says to me they're going to go to dental school, I'm like, nope, don't do it. Don't do it. You will be sorry. Come out of school, $500,000 in debt. You're going to be working for a dental service corporation, or good luck opening a private practice and competing with guys out there who've already opened their practices and they already have their patient population. And of course, some of them are dicks. So, you know, you could take some patients away. But I mean, even starting up a new practice is like ridiculously expensive. And then you have, you know, your student loans to pay off, and they don't, you know, put off that payment forever. And God dang, it takes a long time to pay it off. I remember when that thing got paid off, I was like, oh, I guess I do make pretty good money. But yeah. Anyway, it was a kind of a crazy thing. My point was, you know, it's like gay men especially, they get the worst hit, it seems to me, like for whatever reason. Like, why would monkeypox like attack gay men? Like, you know, what is it about monkeypox that would make gay men more vulnerable to monkeypox virus, I guess? I don't know. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it was totally coincidence that these four guys were the first four guys and they just all happened to be gay men. Maybe that was it. I really don't know. Hey, Bill, I'm going to get a drink. Hang on. Hey. But on the other side of that coin, I just want to take a moment here and say, I am so grateful for the women in my life. All of them. My wife, my daughter, my stepson's wife, the women I work with, the few extremely limited people I call friends, that they are all so flippin' normal. Because, like, they haven't had a real good go of it either, if you know what I mean. Let's see. I think I had something here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See? Kind of the obsidian kind of pulled me through. Got the notes right here. Like, so I was thinking about women the other day, and I was just thinking, how, like, can't we just get to the point where we just accept everybody as equals? I mean, we would save so much time and energy by just saying, you know, hire the best person for the job, male, female, whatever, doesn't matter. But my what I really wanted to get to is I'm so grateful that the women in my life are women. Like, they're women. There's no question about whether that there's even some gay women in my life, but they're women. Like, they don't, there's no like identity crisis. There's no like mental illness with the women in my life. That's not true. They're all a little bit crazy. I'm kidding. But they're just women, man. And I mean, you can't really bring up these topics of being, you know, of people who are transgender, whatever, because somebody's always going to get their feelings hurt. But honest to God, like, most of the women in my life, like, I don't bring it up. I don't bring any of that stuff up because I want people to know exactly how I feel. They can find out by listening to this show, but you can't do that in the office setting, you know, if you want to stay employed and you don't want to have issues. I was just thinking in general about women and how grateful I am. And I started thinking back about their history. And the first thing that came to my mind is, yeah, I mean, like, I guess, you know, we used to just like club them and drag them by the hair back to the cave, you know, and claim them as our personal property. And then, you know, like still today, like it's unbelievable, but today in 2022, there's many countries that still treat women as second-class citizens. You know what? I remember a time that my sister, who's complete liberal, totally, like, absolutely don't, like, I don't waste time having conversations with her about why what she believes is completely retarded, because you're not going to make any headway. You know, some of those people, they base everything that they believe on emotion. So you can't really affect somebody's emotion. She's my sister. I love her to death. But man, she's got some issues. But back when I was in college, the whole, there was a lot of stuff going on in the world. And, you know, we were talking about having Muslims come into this country, and my sister was like, by the way, my sister's gay, but it doesn't matter. She's had a partner longer. She's had more success with her relationship than I've had with my few wives. But I have the perfect wife now, so everything's good. But anyway, she was like, you know, well, we should have Muslims, you know. Why can't we have Muslim? Why can't we have Iraqis? Why can't we have Iranians come into this country? And I was like, well, sister, for one thing, they would kill you because you're gay. Like, you know, be careful what you wish for in your, you know, ideal little world there. They absolutely would kill you because you're a lesbian. So, yeah, like, one reason that I don't want, you know, whatever, coming to this country is if they want you dead, then they're not going to be on my side. I am not going to be very happy about having somebody come into this country. You know, and that was the other thing. I was like, yeah, so why do you want them to come to this country? They make women walk like five steps behind them. And if they rape a woman, it's her fault. I mean, they'll literally prosecute a woman after they raped her, you know. Oh my God, the laws are just ridiculous. But my sister was all about, you know, open borders for everybody. Okay, so, well, you know, that is the way it is. But anyway, getting back to my praise of women in my life, you know, in many countries, women are treated as second-class citizens. I found 8 different cultures that actually kind of fit in to a matriarchal definition. I'm not going to go over all of them because they're all really kind of bizarre, you know. Actually, there was one or two of them in China, and I was like, yeah, no, that I don't believe it. You know, it might have been some ancient culture that they still have, like some little group that, you know, pretends that the women are still, but no, it's China. It's communist China. Yeah, and of course, women were prevented from voting or making big decisions. They did men's job during wartime here in the United States. And then when the war was over and the men came back, the women were all like let go, even though they were really good at their job and really, you know, productive. Well, the men wanted to work. And at that time, actually, the women were like, cool, I can go back to being a housewife and a mom. And the war is over and, you know, my man is back or whatever. And, you know, they went on with life and it wasn't that kind of a big of a deal. But then as we got into this, you know, equality thing and women wanted to make the same, you know, do the same jobs as men. And then eventually, you know, they got to where we should have equal pay for equal work. I 100% agree with that. But look at the struggle that we've had. I mean, look at the struggle. It seems so simple to me to just set the wage. Before you hire anybody, set the wage. And when you hire somebody, that's what they get paid. You know, it just would be so damn easy to eliminate some of the hassles we've had. But women just keep constantly getting beat up. You know, and I was always one of those guys. I was a male chauvinist pig, I'm sure, you know, and went through a little transition period. You know, before I understood, look, we're all equal. Just let's do this. You know, let's just do the freaking whatever it is we have to do to move past this, and let's all kumbaya, have a kumbaya moment. Anyway, women started making headway in equal pay for equal jobs, although you can't tell that today because they still feel that they're underpaid, and they probably are. They got their own sports leagues and professional sports standings. They had their own sets of records and competed against other women. I guess there was a whole burn the bra moment. Let me see what this was about. Because I sort of remember it. Thank you, by the way, ladies. One of the ways to protest was the Miss American protest. It happened in 1968 in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Women came from all over. A woman drove all the way up from Florida at the event. About 150 feminists from six cities joined together to show how all women were hurt by beauty competitions. They argued that the contest declared that the most important thing about a woman is how she looks by parading women around like cattle to show how they look. All women were made to believe they were inferior because they couldn't measure up to Miss America beauty standards. In the 1960s, the phrase bra burning was well known. People say that very few women actually burn their bras, but many supported those actions. Women burned their bras because they felt it proved a statement or made a stand for women's right. Another reason they burned their bras was because it was a symbol that showed independence of men at the time. The women that didn't burn their bras often walked around wearing no bra at all. This was also meant to show independence of men. Many women thought it meant freedom to be natural instead of pushed up. At the Miss America protest, there were trash cans that women called freedom trash cans. Women threw things such as bras, girdles, curlers, tweezers, high heels, etc. in them to be burned. So, like, through all of that, you know, women keep making headway, and then what happens? This has got to be the dirtiest damn trick ever played on women. And that is, we have men who identify as women competing against women in women's sports. And for all I know, trans probably get some kind of like priority hiring status over women. I mean, that's kind of what I'm getting to. So women were finally getting a handle on this equality thing, like, you know, equal pay and equal jobs, and, you know, women could do anything a man can do, whatever. And then what do? We drop the hammer on them by bringing men into their sports, by bringing men into their arena. Trans. Okay, trans is a nice cover for, yeah, we're going to beat you up with men again. Like just when you thought, just like when you were ready to set the NCAA world record in swimming, we dump a dolphin in the pool with you. Oh, God. I mean, will it ever end? And the, you know, the minuscule number of people in the population that actually make up the whatever letters you want to throw in, you know, LGBTQ, I, trans, whatever. They're taking some of that glory. That's a little tiny bit of population, man. And it's just beating the women down again. You know, there goes your NCAA record. The one chance you had, well, this year, of setting that record, nope, we put a man in the pool to defeat you. A crappy male swimmer, by all accounts. I mean, he wasn't horrible. At least he could compete, but he couldn't win. He didn't win until he jumped in the pool as a trans, you know, competing against women. Man, it's tough as hell. But I thank God, honestly, for the women in my life that they're just rational women. Love them. Death, man, and I'm so glad that my life has that kind of woman in it and not some other whatever I have to worry about. Very thankful for that. So let's move on, man. It's cruising. We are cruising. I want to get back to this note here. Oh my God, I love this too, y'all. I'm not kidding. It's so easy to use, and as I use it more often, I'm going to get better at linking these notes, and there's backlinks. Like I said before, I really love it. So did you hear, honestly, you can't make this stuff up. I mean, you would have a hard time making this stuff up. Hang on. All right. Let's bring up this genius. So this is titled, well, this is on Epic Times. Thank you, Epic Times. God dang, I love Epic Times, by the way. I think I was wrong and didn't fully understand inflation, says Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. What? Like, how do you become a Treasury Secretary of the United States of America, and you don't understand inflation? I mean, did you take Economics 101 in your, you know, in your course to become the Treasurer Secretary of the United States? Like, there's some courses you can take, 101 courses everybody does as filler space in college, man. And Eco 101, pretty sure they cover inflation. I don't think it was a one-day lecture. Like, you could Google it. You know, or you could study history and look at what happened to inflation in the past, what caused it and what corrected it. This idiot, obviously another whatever you call those hires, you know, like, she knows all the correct pronouns, and she probably believes in the environment and climate change, man-made climate change, and green energy and electric cars and all that stuff, but she doesn't understand inflation? What is she? I mean, they should immediately, there should have been somebody standing, like, off stage with a shepherd's hook and just reached out and grabbed her by the neck and pulled her right off the stage. Like, okay, you're fired. Go home. How can you be a Treasury Secretary of one of the most powerful countries in the world and not know what inflation is? Seriously. How freaking embarrassing is that? Like, how do you live with your, like, why would you come back to work tomorrow? You know, today you say you didn't really understand inflation. Quit your job. Go home. Take a refresher course on economics. Jesus. I, you know, if you don't think the rest of the world is laughing their ass off at the United States right now, you gotta be kidding yourself. The clowns we have from top to bottom in government. And that, you know, it's not gonna change. I'm telling you. You know, there was all this hype. You're gonna continue to hear it. You know, I actually went to Real Clear Politics for the first time today. I didn't even know what Real Clear Politics was before. Okay, so now I know. That's one place I can go to look at all these different polls that are taken. And there's some commentary on there, I'm sure. Okay, I shouldn't say that. Let's go look and see what's on Real Clear Politics. News. I think I put it in nothing. Yeah, let's go here. Oh, yeah, so there's video, there's writers, there's election polls, articles, opinion, research, newsletters, podcasts, cartoons, links, publishing, and speakers. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of crap on Real Clear Politics. I don't know if they're right or left-leaning. Honestly, I don't care. You know, fortunately, I'm able to think for myself, like, and kind of think critically and question things and go look for source information and kind of put the story together myself, which I'm telling you, we have generations of people coming behind us. I'm 64. There's generations behind us that are not prepared at all for anything drastic to happen in their lives because they think the government is their source of information and what the government says goes. They're going to have to learn the hard way. But I don't care if Real Clear Politics is left or right-leaning. I even went and looked at CNN today. I'll tell you why. Because CNN was started in 1980. I think their birthday was like today or yesterday, something like that. And I was like, man, just think back of the time when CNN made the scene. You know, at first, like everybody was like, oh, you got to watch CNN. You know, you got to be on CNN. You got to see CNN. CNN's, you know, anything happens in the world, like turn on CNN quick. You know, the Gulf Wars, attempt on Reagan's life. I mean, all of these things, tremendous coverage by CNN. And look what they've done in 50 years. Is it 50? Let's see, 42. 42 years. 1980. Yeah, 42 years. They're just like they're the laughing stock. They're almost, let's see, man, I don't know if I could call which group is stupider, CNN or this current administration. I, honest to God, couldn't tell you. Joke. Complete joke. The thing is, so many people actually watch CNN and believe what they say. Because CNN's kind of, you know, Communist News Network, they're right in there with the left and the Democrats, you know, and promoting Democratic agenda. Just like the tech companies, you know, they're all kind of in the same boat. And that's kind of what I was getting at. Okay, so CNN, you know, made the scene 42 years ago, and they pretty much trashed that all to hell because they're basically worthless. They claimed that they had some millions of viewers daily. I don't see that. I mean, I look at some of the polling for other shows that are on versus their shows. Yeah, I don't. I think I even said a month or so ago that I was going to try and get as many listeners as CNN had viewers. It was like 500,000 or something. Like 500,000. Oh, I'm getting there. I probably have 6 or 8, 10. I don't know. You know, on all the different platforms, I'd have to add them up. But I only do this because I enjoy doing it. So it doesn't really matter if I just, it would just be funny to be a, to be bigger than CNN. There's a lot of people who've done it already. You know, independent news people. I think Timcast IRL, he's on right now on YouTube. He does a live show. That guy's awesome, young guy. And, oh my gosh, he's killing it. He's doing a good job. And, I mean, that's what we need. We need that generation of people, like, understanding the world, like, understanding what inflation is. So when they become a Treasury Secretary, they can actually go, oh, yeah, I know what inflation is. I know what causes it. Printing too much money will cause inflation. Not Biden, not COVID. People cause inflation. Their actions cause inflation. Oh, Lord. Anyway, love Timcast IRL. But I catch his show. When I do my show, I catch his show either later or tomorrow or whatever. All right. Oh, hey, so I wanted to cover this. This is crazy. So, yeah, it's horrible. The school shooting, terrible. Absolutely 100% terrible if it's real. I'm not going to start any conspiracy theory. I'm just saying, like, it would never surprise me to have something like that be not what it really looked like, okay? But just over the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, there were 52 people were shot and 10 were killed in separate shootings across Chicago. 52 people were shot, 10 killed in separate shootings in Chicago. I'm going to click on this link. I just want to see here. Oh. Oh, yeah, here it is. Chicago police, 52 shot, 10 killed. Oh, anyway, and they list each different shooting and how many people were shot at each shooting, you know. And, yeah, it's and this is nothing. I think there were, I lost those numbers. I think there were, I know there was like 2,000 plus shootings last year in Chicago, and I can't remember if it was 900 people died or 500 people died. It was a crap ton of people that died. But why don't you hear about that? I'm not going to answer that question, but you can figure it out. There's a reason why they don't talk about these 50 two people that died over Memorial Day weekend in one city. I guess because it's a city. I guess because it isn't an elementary school in some little town in Texas or Oklahoma or Colorado or Oregon. I guess because it's in the big city, it doesn't count, right? There's a reason you don't hear about those killings. Every single day in Chicago. Go ahead and start watching Chicago news feeds and see how many people are shot daily in Chicago. And they have gun laws. That's not the problem. I did hear an interesting kind of conversation about the killer who shot up that school in Texas. You know, and it's something that we're probably going to be dealing with for a while. That kid was insane, obviously. That man was insane. He had mental problems, obviously. There's enough dirt out there already that you know that he wasn't sane. He wasn't a mentally healthy person. But do you think 2 years of COVID lockdown and manipulation by the U.S. government, like, did anything to help? Or do you think maybe it actually caused a little bit of a problem? I wanted to mention this one Pfizer thing. It really pisses me off. But, yeah, Pfizer fails. This is the craziest thing. So the Center for Disease Control and Prevention director, Rochelle Walensky, another, you know, whatever, hired person because she's, well, not the most experienced, knowledgeable, or skilled, but some other reason they hired her. She's a complete idiot. Warned that Pfizer's COVID-19 pill, Paxlovid, can lead to a rebound in symptoms. Not only a rebound in symptoms, but if you take Paxlovid, you might get symptoms again. Walensky says on CBS News on Tuesday, we haven't yet seen anybody who has returned with symptoms needing to go to the hospital. So generally, a milder course. Another researcher who is not affiliated with CDC said that he has observed such a scenario. Hang on. If you take Paxlovid, people who experience rebound are at risk of transmitting to other people. Okay, so just imagine this. Okay, you've been vaxxed, you've been double vaxxed, you've been boosted, either been double or triple boosted. You still get sick with COVID. They give you Paxlovid, and you can end up transmitting to other people, even though they're outside what people accept as the usual window for being able to transmit. I mean, seriously, Pfizer, could you screw this up anymore? I mean, literally, if you tried to screw this up, could you screw this up this badly? You suck as much as Biden sucks. And I don't know how you two ended up like doing this thing together at this point in history to have the worst freaking pharmaceutical in the world creating the worst freaking medicine to shoot into people, you know, causing blood clots, causing heart inflammation, causing COVID. Oh my gosh, is my time run? I am. I'm almost out of time. Pfizer sucks. Even with all the information we have about how much Pfizer sucks, they're still trying to push this injection on your kids, on kids in the United States, 5 years old and older. They constantly keep making whatever you want to call this, snake oil. Let's call it snake oil. That's perfect. They keep making snake oil, telling you it's something other than snake oil. Yeah, about a week ago, the agency issued an alert to healthcare providers about the rebound, saying that patients who took Paxlovid either test positive for the virus after having tested negative or will experience COVID-19 symptoms. Fantastic. So you create a vax that doesn't keep people from getting the disease. It doesn't keep people from spreading the disease. It doesn't keep people from being sick. It doesn't keep people from being hospitalized. It doesn't keep people from dying. You create boosters that are equally as weak and inefficient. And then you create this like oral medication to treat people in the hospital that's every bit as crappy and worthless as the stupid freaking vaccine that you made and the U.S. government through the CDC and NIH forced on the rest of the world. Man, congratulations. You know what? I love my local weatherman. He's wrong a lot. They get paid a lot of money to be wrong. These people, when they're wrong, they take people's lives. And the U.S. government is complicit in this again, killing people in the United States and across the world by forcing this crappy, untested, unsafe snake oil on the populations of the world. How in the hell are our ridiculous government got that much power and influence to influence other world leaders to do this ridiculous stuff, I'll never know. I'm glad Putin didn't kind of join in the fun because he has better things to do for sure. Anyway, man, I do love this freaking new tool. Thanks you guys for joining me. I appreciate it. I will see you Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Oh, I'm loving the new schedule, but I do get a little confused. Okay, and if you want to catch my Take Fives, they're every day on BitChute, Rumble, and Odyssey. Thanks a lot, you guys. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platform. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.